Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, good morning. How are we doing out there? How many are ready for God's Word this morning? And we are in the finale of our God's Plan series, and I'm excited to preach, and I hope you're as excited to listen and participate and lean in as I am to preach. All two of you, thank you for your support. All right, awesome. And if you got your Bibles with me, Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 9. As you're turning there, if you have your Bibles, if not, it'll be on the screen above me. I wanted to take a minute and really celebrate something amazing that we got coming up in the life of our church. On September 30th, we are joining 50 to 70, I don't know the final number yet, but it's a whole bunch of churches all over our city that are going out and serving our city all around. And we've got, I think, 8 or 9 big service projects as a church, and so we're not going to have a 5 p.m. that day, but literally you can come to church, hang out afterwards, we're going to feed everybody, we're going to have a big barbecue outside, and then we're going to split up on teams, and we're going to go out and serve at a bunch of different locations all over the city, making a difference and loving our city. How many know Jesus wants us to love our city? And man, I'm so excited about that, and I just wanted to celebrate our I Love My City team that have been working so hard on it. Can we give them a big round of applause? And no matter what your passion is around here, you can find a place to make a difference here at My City Church, and love for you to do that. In fact, directly after this service, we have a thing called Next, and that's what it's designed. You give us 4 weeks, we'll tell you about who our church is and what it's all about. We'll get you connected. We'll build some spiritual foundations in your life, and we'll even start you on the pathway to learning a little bit about what leadership is and all those kinds of things. How many people went to Next last week? In this room, I think we had 70-something people in it, and this week it's even a little bit more on step 2, and you can jump in at any given time. So maybe you're just hearing about this for the first time, you want to hang out afterwards, but I think we got pizza for you. You can hang out, hear a little bit more, and today is all about spiritual foundations, how to read your Bible, how to pray, how to build these great things in your life that gives our life strength. And man, I just know this, God wants us to keep on making next steps in our faith journey, because great faith is built through purposeful next steps. And so it's going to be awesome. Well, anyway, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. I'm excited to preach this final installment. Next week, we're kicking off a brand new series called Jesus Over Everything. And how many of you know there's a lot going on in our world right now? And we go from, it's just wild. I think we underestimate that we are the first generation to live in a society where we can go from being out with friends, laughing, joking around, to getting in the car and hearing about a terrorist attack halfway across the world. And that tension we feel all the time in our between good news, bad news, it's no wonder why anxiety and depression are rampant in our society. But how many of you know the supremacy of Christ gives us confidence? We got to put Jesus over everything in our world. And I believe it's going to be a powerful series for you that's really going to speak to you, and it's going to have real practical, I think, freedom for your life, to have a life full of confidence, because God's in control. Amen? Well, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, here's what it says. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. How many of you love that promise from Scripture? This is Scripture, God speaking to Joshua as he was about to what? Take bold action into his destiny and leading the children of Israel into the promised land. Today, I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought, bold action. Bold action. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord God, we thank you for beautiful weather outside. We thank you for that we get to be in your house worshiping in freedom. And so today I pray that you would help people build their faith, Lord God, that people would walk out of here stronger and more courageous than they came in. Lord, we love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Come on, if you love Jesus this morning, let's put our hands together for him. I was going to pray for the Huskers there in the middle of that, but it's only game one, folks. It's only game one. And, you know, the frost effect, it's still, we're still waiting for it to get frosty. Okay. Anyway, it's going to be great. How many of you believe it's going to be a great season? And how many of you don't care? All right. Awesome. Anyway, so, man, one of the things that I love in my world right now is I love being a dad. I love being a dad to my little boy. And one of the things that I love about being a dad is watching him go through all the stages of change. Like, change is a normal occurrence for him right now. And not only that, but change is almost, he can't even control the changes that are happening to him right now. And sometimes I miss those days in my own life where it was just like, you just knew, like, you know, positive growth was going to naturally happen without a whole lot of effort. And he's just changing. And I remember seeing him when he was younger. And I used to think he was a lot of work when he was just, you know, crying and pooping. That was basically the two functions. And then they start crawling, right? And then you start to realize nothing is safe. Your phone's not safe, your cabinets aren't safe, you gotta do all these locks, and then I can't get into anything because I'm not smart enough, and it just creates all kinds of whole new problems, and they say baby-proof, what are they trying to say to me? Then they start walking, and then you have to deal with boo-boos and all these other kinds of things that are going on, and then they start talking, and that's the phase my son's in right now. And he makes me so excited, because he's just so pumped to take action on everything he learns. Like, it's almost natural for him to just take action, right? Like, he learns a word, he's going to share the word. It doesn't really matter what the word is. And the other day, I'm going to kind of throw my mom under the bus here for a minute, and she's going to love me for this. She's crawling under her seat right now. And but the other day, she has a little dog, and my mom watches him for several of the days during the day. And the little dog, it's a little chihuahua, and so, you know, a little ankle biter. It does all that. And my mom looks at it and goes, her name's Chloe. He goes, Chloe, shut up. Well, Zion. Chloe, shut up. And then, of course, like anybody who realizes that they, oh, heck no. You know what I mean? Like, okay, so she looks at Zion, we don't say shut up. So then he just drops Chloe altogether. Shut up. Shut up, shut up. You know, like so he's got this whole thing, right? And so I didn't know this had happened. So I'm driving in the car a few days later, and he's in the back seat, and he keeps on saying something, and I can't make out what he's saying. And then finally, I'm listening close enough, like only a parent can. Like a parent has like a different language learner that nobody else knows what's going on. But you're like, oh yeah, he wants to go down the street and play ball. You know, like what? And all of a sudden, I realize he's going, shut up in the back seat. And I turn around and go, Zion, we don't say shut up. Dad, shut up. You want a box? You know what I mean? Like, you know? And so you kind of get in this thing. So now he's in this whole routine, right? Because he knows he has something that, you know, like kind of gets somebody going. And so he'll wake up in the morning and it's almost a routine now. You'll start changing his diaper and he's like, shut up. And he's like, looking at you like, are you going to say something about it? You know, like, and so it's just funny to me, like how unafraid he is of taking action. He's so unafraid at this stage. Like, he's learned this new thing. He doesn't understand that it's not nice to say shut up. He just thinks it's funny because it's getting a reaction. And he has no past experience that's created apprehension from taking action. And I got to thinking about this for everybody in this room, that I think in our purest form, that if our world was not filled with brokenness and the effects of sin and our separation from God, that we still, even though we follow Jesus, still have to live in right now until we get to go to heaven, I just can't help but think that God created us to boldly take action. That it's kind of just naturally in us that when we develop something, that when we learn something, that when we take on something new, that we naturally want to put it into action. And I think it's only over time in our life that we've stepped out and put a few things in action and what? Got scolded or saw it fail or it didn't go the way we planned. And then all of a sudden we develop this what? This level of fear where we second guess ourselves all the time. Now, I think there is a healthy level of fear that we should, what? Second guess some of our actions. Impulse actions we should second guess. as we've been working through this series in our God's Plan series, we understand that God's plan, if we focus on it and we use it and we develop it, naturally helps us filter through actions that are going to bring harm to our life. That in fact, the whole point of the plan is that we come out the other side of it with so much strength and so much confidence that we are sure that we can take bold action, that we can be like a child again and be so confident that we can go after what God has put in front of us. Here's what I want you to understand. God's plan builds confidence. God's plan, when we follow it, it builds confidence to take bold action. That we've been looking at, that I want to do a little bit of a recap as we kind of walk through this, because here's the deal. If we just talk about bold action, there are literally some bold actions you just don't need to do. Okay? Like if you were praying the other day and you felt like God spoke to you that somebody you've never talked to is going to be your future wife or spouse, you should not take a bold action and tell them about that. Church jokes. This happens. Yeah? Like there's just some bold actions you shouldn't do. But there is some bold actions that God wants you to have confidence. And he's literally designed you to be able to filter through those things. So when you get to the other side of it, you're walking out of it with confidence to take action. And we learned about God's design, that everything in our world starts with a thought. That thought turns into an imagination. That imagination turns into a vision. That vision turns into a plan. And eventually that plan is going to turn into action. Now, I want to walk you through just a little bit of a review, because here's the deal. If you don't get the process, you're not going to get the right outcome. So you got to understand and you got to remember, when we're talking about being a people of bold action, it's because we've taken seriously the way God has designed us and we've partnered with him in creating a vision for our life. And so we first looked at our thoughts, that we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We literally make it obedient to what God has called us to. And here's the way I describe it, is your mind is like a train station. That's why they call it a train of thought. You can't control which trains come in your mind, but you can choose which ones you board. I can't control the thoughts that come into my head. Don't try to fight that battle. You'll lose that one. But what I can do is whatever thought comes in my head, I can go, nope, I will not board that one, because I know where that one's going to lead me. This one, this God thought, this thing that came from God, I'm going to board that one, because why? It's going to begin to create an imagination in my life that is God-focused. Here's what I would say. When we looked at imagination, we have to put Jesus and others at the center of our imagination. That oftentimes we are the star of our own imagination. But if we're going to live out what Jesus said, you could sum up the whole Bible in, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, we find that really it all starts with Jesus and God being the center of our imagination. That what I think on and what I dream up, is it about serving Jesus? Is it about elevating Jesus? Is it about making a difference on planet Earth? If it is, we will begin to what? Begin to, that's when God looks down and goes, hey, this dreamer is the kind of dreamer that I want to give a vision to. This person is a person that I want to partner with. And so then God begins to what? Teach us how to birth vision in our life. We looked at vision, that we allow our core beliefs to ground us. We allow our core values to guide us, and we allow our core focus to drive us. That our core beliefs, these are things that will not change in our life. Like the fact that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, this is a core belief for me. I don't care what happens in my life. I have made up my mind that fact is going to ground me. It's like that anchor we were singing about for our soul. Those core beliefs that are unmovable, then our core values, which guide us along the journey. See, core values are unique for each person in this room. These are things that you've discovered over time partnering with God, where these are your passions. Like for some people in here, like being a person of encouragement is a core value. See, we're all told in the Bible to encourage one another. But how many of you know there's a difference between doing it because that's what you do and doing it because it's a core value of who you are? And we develop our core values, and these help guide us in the decision-making process. When we decide to go here or do that or dream about that, if it violates one of my core values, I'm not going down that road. I'm not going down that road, no matter how exciting it is, no matter how much opportunity I think is down that path. If it violates a core value of who I am, eventually that thing is going to take me down a pathway that I don't want to go down. And I'm going to allow my core focus to drive me. I'm going to talk to God about what makes me laugh, what makes me cry, what makes me angry. What is the problem that God is wanting me to solve with him? And I'm going to make that focus me. I'm going to begin to develop a vision. Then we talked about putting a plan together, that we make plans for the future that lead to action today. So that's where most people really trip up in the process, right? Is I think these last two steps are where we lose it the most. I think most people are good with living what? In their imagination, beginning to think about what they would enjoy, what they would do. But what really trips us up is getting a plan and then what? Taking bold action. Because we don't understand that what we create in our head, that's for the future. But if we don't have a plan to drive it home today, then we are just simply living in a hallucination rather than a vision. That God wants us to be able to take bold action. So today we're going to look at, like, what are some of the things, like, I can't tell you how to take action. But I can tell you some things that I believe will happen and that you need along the journey if you're going to take bold action to win. And that's what was talking about. That's what I want you to understand is that God's plan, here's what I want you to know. God's plan is designed to build confidence in you to take bold action. That's exactly what is going on in the scene in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. See, Joshua has followed, to give you a little context to the scripture, Joshua has followed a leader named Moses. Moses was the man, the great deliverer. He went and rescued the children of Israel from slavery, and they have been wandering literally in a desert for 40 years, not walking in what God had promised them, because they refused to honestly, quite honestly, live out some of the things we're going to talk about today. Like, what a travesty, I think. And what a picture for most of humanity. That God has great plans for us, but we instead wander around rather than enter into them. And so Joshua has been following this for 40 years. And Moses has died, and Joshua is determined. Joshua was one of the only guys through the 40 years that never doubted. Every time something came up, can we go take that city? Can we do this? He said, yes, we can. Why? Because the Lord's with us. He was a man of strength and confidence. He never And I think God was keeping a record the whole time. And when the time came, it's Joshua's turn to lead, and now Joshua is ready to move in. But I don't care who you are. When it's your time to take bold action, there will be a level of apprehension and fear. And so God begins to speak to Joshua, and here's literally what he says. He says, Joshua, this is me talking. Have I not commanded you? Here's what I would say to you. Have we not worked through God's plan together? Have we not taken every captive thought to the obedience of Christ? Have we not imagined together and dreamed together? Have we not solidified our core beliefs that are unmovable? Have we not got core values? Have I not given you a core focus? Have we not developed a plan together? Have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? Here's what he says. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I love that word, discouraged, which tells me that there's something along God's plan that will discourage. Saying, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. See, we get hung up on what we're going to do. God gets hung up on the man who's going to do it. God is saying, I will be with you through thick and thin, wherever you go, through every part of the plan. I'm going to be with you. So it's time to take bold action. And if you're going to take bold action from this passage of scripture, there's two things that God is saying you're going to need. There's two things that you're going to need. He literally says to him, Joshua, be strong and be courageous. Which tells me that you can be smack dab in the middle of God's will and feel what? Weak and discouraged. That oftentimes, it is an indicator that you are right where God wants you to be. That oftentimes, God's plans come with resistance. Here's what I would say. The devil's not out there opposing your plan. The devil is not out there opposing somebody else's plan. You know who the devil's opposing? God's plan. So in the middle of it, while we are on this planet Earth until we get to go to heaven, we are going to encounter discouragement and feel weak and have a what? An insecurity. I couldn't do that. What am I doing? First mistake. See, I told you. And God's going, no. I know it's coming. So here's what I want you to do. Be strong and be courageous. See, that word strong, I think, is one of those things that we have a huge misconception about. I watch a lot of people be strong and they're not strong. Exuding confidence does not mean you're strong. I know some people that are confident, and you're like, man, you don't need to be confident. Come on, you all know what I'm talking about, right? The person who thinks they got it all together, figured out, everything that they know is right, da-da-da-da. And I'm like, oh, man, that's not strong at all. That's pretty weak. Here's what I want you to understand. Strength comes from flexibility and teachability. Like, on this path that God's going to get you on, if you are not teachable along the journey, you are not going to make it very far. If you are not teachable along the way, you are what? You're going to veer off the path. Later on in this passage of scripture, you know what God tells him a second time? Be strong and courageous. Be careful to do all that I've commanded you so that you what? You don't stray off the path. Which means, tells me, if God's warning us, our natural inclination is to what? To stray. So if we're going to become all that God has for us, what would be the counteraction to that? Teachableness. That if you do not carry a teachable, a hunger for growth, a hunger to get better, a hunger to learn, then what? You are one or two things. You are going to fear failure to the point where you do nothing. Or you are going to cover up failure with what? False sense of confidence. Which eventually, dude, here's what I say. People are talking about destiny. Fake it till you make it ain't going to work. You got to let God make you into the person you want to be so that way you make it. And that requires a level of teachableness on our part. But not only that, teachableness along the journey, you are going to need to have a high level of flexibility. Just think about this for a moment. That flexibility strengthens everything in our life. In fact, I would venture to say along this journey of following God's plan, you are going to need a high level of flexibility. You are going to need a high level of teachability. Because why? God is going to build you into your destiny. And here's what I would say to you. Blessed are the flexible, for they won't be broken. I see this happen to people all the time. They start off towards God's plan. And then all of a sudden, I see this happen in church. Like people, I'm passionate. You know, I want to serve. I want to love people. I'm like, okay, yeah, awesome. You know what I mean? They got all these dreams and visions. And then we get them on a team. And then all of a sudden, oh, this is a little demanding. Like, you want me to be at this meeting and that meeting, and so on and so forth. And I'm going, yeah. Yeah. Because why? Anything worth doing is going to require change on your part. You can't take new things in unless you're willing to create room for them. You can't take more of what God has for you unless you're ready to get rid of some of the other stuff. You got to be able to what? Embrace change, which is going to require a level of flexibility on your part. And if you are serious about God leading you, God is going to bring change to your life. And blessed are the flexible, because they're not going to be broken. You got to be nimble and flexible. Here's what I would say. In order to be flexible, you must constantly be stretching. Just think about this for a moment. That if you've ever done yoga, I've done yoga twice, and I realize it's not my calling. But we got one of our girls here, Callie. Pretzels, you know, like this is so flexible. But I promise you, if I sat down with her and asked her, did you start like that? No, I can barely touch my toes. You know, that's about all I got. But if I stretched every day, how many of you know, not only do I become more flexible, but every part of my life begins to be strengthened? If you want to walk in what God has for you, you got to understand that God is going to take it upon himself to put you in situations that are going to stretch you. He's going to put you in situations that are going to stretch you. Because why? He's trying to work on your flexibility. Because what? Flexibility and stretch equals strength tomorrow. When I first started, I remember when I first started back into the gym here probably 3 months ago. And I'm starting to get stronger and I'm starting to feel better and whatever. But I used to, a long time ago, be pretty strong. I used to be pretty strong. And isn't it funny if you used to be in the gym or like you used to play a sport? Or you like I used to skateboard, like, and I get on a skateboard, and my mind tells me, just do the trick. But my body's saying, friend, you're not that flexible. Because why? That until we are willing to embrace stretch, we will never embrace strength. So when God is telling you, I want you to be strong, what is he telling you? He's coming to stretch you. When you take bold action, it's going to stretch you. It's going to put you in an uncomfort zone. It's going to be, because why? You've never been there before. That's why it's called a stretch. Right. If I'd done it before, it doesn't stretch me. But if I push beyond where I've been before, it's going to stretch me. And God is saying, hey, I'm going to strengthen you for the days to come. Here's what I want you to get in your head. Stretch, grow, strengthen. Stretch, grow, strengthen. You want to walk in God's plan for your life? Stretch, grow, strengthen. You want to start that business? You know what it's going to be? Stretch, grow, strengthen. You got to walk in it. I never forget when I realized this in my life was when I got married. I got married and we kind of have these things in our head, right, where we just think, you know, you get married, you find the right person, that special someone, and man, it's just going to be all like, you know, it's going to be gumdrops and lollipops, and, you know, it's just going to be every day, wake up, and, you know, my six-pack stays in place for the rest of my life, and she wakes up every day with makeup on. You know, like, we think these things, like, and not that you ever need makeup, baby. My God, I'm the one that needs makeup, not you. You're gorgeous. All right, sorry, I'm trying to make up. But we got married, and then I realized that in my own life, like, I had this false assumption that a good marriage was absent stretch and conflict. That if we had a good, healthy marriage, we would never have disagreement. And so when we had so much disagreement, my assumption was, come on, let's be honest. Is this God's plan? I'm being very vulnerable here. If you're married in here, you've been here. If you haven't, you're lying. Or give me some tips. One of the two. But you start questioning, is it? And what I realized over time was the only way my marriage was going to be strong was through a stretch. That in fact, what I've realized is there's no way to get intimate without conflict. When God says two will become one, he's not just talking about the act of sex. He's saying literally these two souls are going to mingle. Now, that's two people who have personalities, problems, all kinds of other things, issues. You know, you find out soon enough when you're married, you've been living with your issues your whole life. You've gotten used to dealing with them. They're not going to be that forgiving. They're going, hey, mirror, check that out. Not pretty. You know, change that. And what does that do? It makes conflict. See, a person who will not get stronger, who will not stretch, grow, and strengthen, will look at that and they'll what? They'll try to get out of it. But the person who understands that God makes us better through the stretch will go, you know what? I'm going to stretch. I'm going to grow. I'm going to get better. I'm going to strengthen my marriage. And we begin to work through things. And it's hilarious. The longer and longer and longer you do it, some of the things you think back on it, we used to argue about that. Like, I coach young couples all the time. They'll tell me what you're arguing. I'm like, it's almost comical now. I'm like, it's just a stretch. And they're like, no, the world's in me. We're not going to make it. He put the toothbrush in the wrong spot. Terrible. And you just look and you go, stretch, grow, strengthen. Because there's purpose to your pain. God's building a plan for your life. Don't get out of the plan because you don't want to get stronger. Because here's why. Every time God stretches you, every time you grow and you strengthen, you know what you start to get? It's this beautiful thing called courage. See, we can't be courageous without a stretch. And we can't stretch without a little bit of courage. That it's these two things that play off of each other that make us bold as lions, that make us confident. Because why? We've been through the process. We've been through the fire with God. Here's what I say. Courage faces our fears, knowing that pain is a part of progress. So in God's plan, like if you're going to take bold action, here's what I would say. Embrace the stretch, knowing that there will be pain along in the journey. But if you can carry the right spirit, a spirit of courage, you know what it'll be like? It'll be like when you're in the gym and you're working out and you want to stop because it hurts. You know, I'm going to go a little bit farther. And you get up and you feel that pump and you go, ah, I can feel this working. I can feel myself getting stronger. I can feel myself getting bigger. What? I can feel my capacity grow. See, pain is the pathway to progress. I'm not talking about self-inflicted pain or anything weird like that. Okay, don't go looking for pain. Life is going to bring you plenty of it. What I would say is look for God in your pain. Pain is the pathway to progress. You will only grow to your threshold of pain. So every time I pray, God, take me higher. Give me more. I'm ready for more. You know what I know is coming? A season of stretching, a season of pain. But here's what I've learned. Courage helps us take pain and turn it into progress. I've just learned that. Like, I've got to get some courage in me. I've got to be able to look at that thing and not make it about it coming against me. But in friends, I'm going to use that pain as a platform for God's progress in my life. One of my favorite stories in the Bible where you see this whole vision thing walk out is Peter walking on water. You got to get this. Jesus has sent the disciples into a boat. He sent them into the sea, and he has left them as he's dismissing people. And as they go out, a great storm comes around. It was a storm that they didn't go looking for, but it was a storm that God actually sent them in. And they're out there and the waves are everywhere and they think they're going to die and they're screaming and yelling for help. And here comes Jesus just walking on the water. He's just walking on the water. Hey. And they look up and they've got great fear. And they literally scream out, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. Isn't it interesting that the thing that was trying to take them to the next level, they perceived as their greatest fear? stop and think, let that sink in for a moment. Some of the things that we're running from, God's trying to get us to embrace because it's going to bring breakthrough to our life. And they look up and Jesus goes, hey, not a ghost, it's me. Don't be afraid. And then all of a sudden this thought comes into Peter's head. If that's Jesus, I'm going to walk on this water too. So what does he start to do? He starts to imagine that. And then he goes, okay, I got to work on some core beliefs here. Jesus, if that's you, just tell me. Because I don't want to mess this up. But if that's you, what is he doing? He's getting his core focus. If that's you, tell me to come to you and I'll start walking on the water towards you. Jesus says, it's me. Start coming. Peter gets out of the boat. And what does he do? He begins to walk on water. Focused in on Jesus. Notice, I believe this is God shouting at our church for you today. He looks down what? Off of his core focus, his core mission, what he was supposed to be at. He gets his eyes off the vision, gets his faith in the plan, looks down at the water, go, this ain't gonna be good. This isn't good. This isn't the way it's supposed to work. People aren't supposed to walk on water. All this rationale starts coming into his brain, right? Immediately, he begins to sink. That's what I want to remind you today. Our faith is not in the plan. Our faith is not in our situation or our circumstances. Our faith is in a man, and his name is Jesus. And so he begins to sink. See, sometimes God will let you sink to get rid of all the other stuff that you got faith in. So he's going down and he begins to look up and he immediately gets back on his core focus. Jesus saved me. The Bible says immediately Jesus reaches down and pulls him up. He gets in the boat and they go about their way. Here's what I'm saying to you. Along the plan, as you take bold action, there may be some times where you feel like you're sinking. There may be some times that it just doesn't feel like it goes according to plan. Be of good cheer, as Jesus would say, for it is I am with you. Here's what I want you to know. Your alignment is more important than your assignment. More important than what you're going to do. More important whether every plan works, whether there's perfection. Your alignment to God's calling will keep you on the right path. You may get a little bit wet every once in a while, but friends, I would rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker. I want to walk with Jesus. See, here's what I want to encourage you with. The pain of change is always better than the pain of staying the same. Have you noticed this in your own life? Either way, you're going to experience pain. The pain of feeling stuck, the pain of feeling like I have no purpose, the pain of feeling like my life's not going anywhere, or the pain of change. You choose which pain, but here's what I would tell you. The pain of staying the same is always greater than the pain of change. So here's what I want to encourage everybody with, if you'll stand to your feet with me. I want to remind you today, as you begin to dream and embark on the plans and you take bold action toward what God has called you to, I want to remind you with the words of God towards Joshua. I am with you wherever you go. He's with you through the storm. He's with you through the trial. He's with you through the plan. He's trying to stretch you. He's trying to grow you. So be strong and be courageous. Because why? We have a hope that anchors our soul. Through every trial, through every situation, he is faithful. Amen? Why don't we lift our hands towards heaven if you feel comfortable.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.